This episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks is brought to you by the Mason Jar, New York City. The Mason Jar is the official Gamecock bar for the New York City area. Fans and alumni of USC can come by the jar for some great barbecue, cold drinks, and of course, to watch the Gamecocks in any sport, all while surrounded by South Carolina memorabilia. If you want to get a slice of game day in Columbia all while in the Big Apple, head to the Mason Jar on East 30th Street. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 88 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, brought to you by the Mason Jar, New York City. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And I can't even wait. I can't wait until the preview part. I got to get it out of my system. To hell, to hell, to hell with Georgia, the cesspool of the South. All right, now we can take a breath. Got it out of our system. It's been stuck in my head literally all week. I've been in meetings humming it, probably annoying everybody. But hey, I'm a Gamecock. That's what we do. It's Georgia Hate Week. What do you want from me? Got a fun episode for y'all today. Going to do a week in review for USC Athletics. Got some football notes here, and then we'll dive into the Georgia game preview. Quick note for y'all. My Monday post-game episode may be a tad late. I know I normally like to have that thing drop first thing in the morning. I'm doing a little bit of traveling that day, so it may be a little bit later, hopefully around lunchtime at the very latest. But have no fear, Monday post-game show will still be out, just maybe a tad delay here. But moving on to our week in review around USC Athletics, not really a result here to start, but Gamecock women's soccer are in the top five for the fourth week in a row. How about that to start the season? Hell yeah. Go girls. I believe they are playing Alabama as I am recording this. If I know anything about Alabama soccer, which I do not, it's that they stink and our girls are much better. And we're going to remain in the top five for a fifth week in a row. On Tuesday here, men's soccer lost to UNCW 0-2. That's all right, guys. Men's golf finished tied for sixth at the Badger Invitational to open their season. And women's golf finished tied for fourth at the Annika Invitational. That's a mouthful there, but good job, girls. Top four finish. How about that? Now, before moving into the football preview game, I do have some notes here for y'all. And, you know, if you've been following this team for the last week or so, you know that there has not been the best news on this front here. So just going to get it out there, bring y'all up to speed. Mo Kaba and Jordan Strawn are both out for the year. ACL injuries, just horrible. I feel so, so bad. My heart aches for these guys. Guys who were primed to have good years, be leaders on the defense, and were really looking to develop their game to the next level. With Mo, I hope he can come back stronger than ever and lead our defense once again. With Jordan, who knows? I mean, I think he is eligible to come back under a medical redshirt, but he has NFL aspirations. He's been in school for a while, so I could see him training, getting healthy, and trying to make it to the league. But nothing but prayers and good luck to those guys. Now, the injury report heading into this weekend outside of those guys, you have all the following guys are questionable. According to Shane Beamer, David Spaulding, Cam Smith, Corey Rucker, RJ Roderick, and Alex Huntley. Darius Rush should be good to go. I saw that Dakarion Joyner was working his way back from an injury. He feels good. And that's it. I mean, those are some pretty big names right there. A lot in the defensive backfield, even though I do think Roderick is going to play. I don't know why he's still listed as questionable, but from everything that I've heard from the coaches and read, he should be good to go. And you got to hope that most of these guys can play considering what we are facing this Saturday, right? And perfect segue here into the UGA game preview. South Carolina taking on the number one Georgia Bulldogs at home at noon in Williams-Brice. And once again, just to hell with Georgia. My God, do I hate this school. Hate the Bulldogs, man. I mean, it's just this deep-rooted hatred. And to hell with them. And look, I've said this before on this podcast. I am not here to kiss any team's rings. I'm not here to kiss any program's history or traditions. I look at every matchup as one of one, and I wear the garnet glasses. I'm an optimist by nature, and I believe that our Gamecocks can have a chance and can fight in every single game. Oh, and it's the freaking Will Muschamp reunion at Williams-Brice. Like, ugh, definitely to hell with this team. To hell that. Oh, my goodness gracious. It just gets better and better. But we do know that every year, no matter the circumstances or rankings of these two teams, this game has big implications one way or the other. And it is intense, and it's an intense rivalry. This game tends to be very physical. And yes, maybe the last two matchups or so have not gone our way, and the final score has not been super competitive. But for the last decade or so, it has been a very competitive game more times than not. And I understand that it is a noon game this Saturday, but the fact of the matter is, this is our SEC home opener against a bitter rival, and Williams-Brice should be, and you know what, I know it will be absolutely rocking. Our team has played well at home so far under Shane Beamer, and our home field advantage is a big part of that, but the team is banged up now a little bit, right? There's going to be a ton of recruits in the stadium for this game, so we cannot let that get our energy and our spirit down. Our fans need to do what they do. Be loud, be proud, and bring that noise to Williams-Brice. But turning my focus to the field here, to the task at hand, there is no way to dodge it, right? UGA is a damn good team, and it's safe to say that this is the toughest challenge that South Carolina will face all season. Last year, UGA had the number three scoring offense in the SEC and the number one scoring defense in the SEC as well, and I believe second overall nationally. This year, they started out the gates 2-0. Despite losing 15 guys to the NFL, they do not seem to have taken much of a step back at all. I had kind of hoped that they would have. And they have yet to give up a touchdown. But funny enough, I actually think that was the case last year when we played them too. They hadn't given up a touchdown, and we broke that. So let's keep it going. I don't mind that. I mean, they played Samford week two. It's like, you know what I mean? It's just not the craziest stat in the world. Two games in. Anyway, here, on offense, they returned their starting quarterback, Stetson Bennett, most of their offensive line, and a few big key guys at skill positions. On defense, I think they technically only return like three or four starters, but most everyone played significant time last year. Their second and third stringers are still also very experienced. They're older guys, upperclassmen. Right now, Vegas has the line at 24 points in favor of Georgia going into this game. And as it stands right now, their defense, and particularly their front seven, in my opinion, is the strength of that unit. And they return a ton of experience, as I just said. And right now, our guys who are going up against them, the running backs and the offensive line, they have struggled to find a groove, as we know. So I can certainly see the logic behind that 24-point spread, but you know what? This is why you play the game. And on any given Saturday, crazy things can happen. And in a rivalry game, even crazier things can happen. You can almost pencil something in. And things are bound to go one way and then bounce back. I'm not losing any sleep over the odds makers having us as a 24-point underdog, or what they so-called experts are saying about this game. I'm not losing any sleep about someone hating on us in this game here, despite that spread. So going over to my crows to the game here, for those of you who are new listeners, I don't do keys to the game. Everyone does that. We have our rooster crow, so I have my crows to the game. So overall for the team, play an incredibly clean game. You certainly cannot lose the turnover battle. And there needs to be next to no penalties. Because if you give a team like UGA an inch, they can take a mile. And our team operates best when it's in rhythm, so let's just not disturb that. Now on offense, my first crow to the game is you have to find a way to get a semblance of a running game going. I know I'm like the thousandth person this week to say that, but it's true. But I'm also not expecting us to run all over Georgia, right? I'm not expecting us to run for 150 yards or go crazy, but we have to be able to break a couple. And that means get creative with it however you can. Dekarion Joyner is supposedly healthy, as I said at the top of the show. He can be someone you get jet sweeps to. Maybe you do the same thing with Amarian Brown. You have to get creative with it. We did not see Christian Beal-Smith get a touch last game, so I have to assume that he's 110% healthy for this game. He could be someone we turn to. A veteran presence, a little bit of a bigger back, falls forward. He's someone you could turn to, someone that UGA does not have tape on in a Gamecock uniform. But if we can get a little something going and break two runs, right? Somewhat long runs, that will open things up for everyone. And my second crow here, you know, it was tough. It's just like, I don't know, man. it's so tough. It's a big challenge. But I think the second crow for the offense is take shots at the end zone. We saw Satterfield try a few deep shots at Arkansas that just missed. And those would have really changed the game. Spencer could have ended up with like 500 yards passing had those hit. I want to see more of the same. Last year in this game, we saw Jalen Brooks and Josh Van have a pair of deep catches in this matchup. And so now that you add Spencer Rattler and these additional playmakers, there's no reason not to try and air it out some. I don't want to say you have nothing to lose, because that's a kind of a weird mentality to go into with this game, but you kind of have nothing to lose. On top of it, that's a huge part of Spencer Rattler's game, and he's not afraid to throw it deep. He's smart enough to read the coverage of what to do, when to do it, etc. So we need to give him the chance to do it. And if you hit some, then not only does it put the defense on its heels, but it will put some momentum in your corner and maybe shake up that UGA staff a bit. Maybe old Willie Muschamp starts to shake in his boots a little bit when Spencer Rattler throws a 45-yard dime on a rope. Maybe. And you know what? It's just this mentality. If Spencer can do it, he's only here for so many games. Let's try it. Air out the ball. Smoke him if you got him. You know what I'm saying? You got this weapon. You might as well try and leverage it. Moving over to the defense here, my first crow to the game is simple. Next man up. We're down two leaders on this defense. Two key contributors in Mo and Jordan. So it's time to buck up. So who is going to step up now? In the linebacking group, it's Sherrod Green's job once again there. He's an experienced player, but he's battling back from an injury himself, but I have faith. And according to the depth chart, true freshman Stone Blanton is backing him up. Now, I am a huge Stone Blanton fan. I was excited when he committed to the team, but he is a true freshman. And not many guys can go from high school to starting or playing significant time, rather, in the SEC in a matter of weeks. The idea behind him was that he was going to develop largely over this year and then could be a cornerstone for us in that linebacking group moving forward. But you know what? It's time to buck up. It's time to man up. The players themselves have said that they love Stone. He's aggressive. He's a ball hawk. I think he has the skills to do it. I don't think he's afraid of the job, and I'm excited to see what he can bring to the table. On the defensive line, it looks like Edmund, and transfer Terrell Dawkins are slated to rotate in that open spot left from Jordan Strawn. But in my mind, the real burden and spotlight is on Jordan Birch. He had a pretty nice game last week, but he has been slowly developing since he arrived on campus his freshman year. It's been a process, but it's time for him to fully arrive on the football field now. Defenses will be able to key in on him a little bit more now that there's only, you know, one true pass rush threat in him, not Strawn. But where there's a will, there's a way. And if he wants to live up to his billing as a bona fide playmaker, it starts this week. My second crow to the game, get a turnover. I don't care how. I do not care how, but create a turnover for God's sake. A bunch of our defensive backs are banged up, yes. But you gotta think a few of those guys that I mentioned earlier are gonna end up playing. So those guys need to be looking for the ball, and the front seven needs to be ripping at the football every chance they get. The fine start that we had last year was in part due to that consecutive game streak we had with a turnover. And if you want to upset a team when you're 3-score underdogs, it's damn near impossible to do so without a turnover. Just remember back to 2019 when we upset Georgia. It was a low-scoring affair, and we caused multiple turnovers to keep their offense off the field and set us up very well. Now, look, I feel worlds better about our offense this year than I did back in 2019, but the point remains, you want to keep UGA's offense off the field, and creating turnovers is obviously a great way to do that. And look, Gamecock Nation is going to be doing everything they can to help in the stands, being raucous, being loud. I just absolutely believe that. And then my third crow is get creative to get pressure on the quarterback. You're down a starting edge rusher, and yes, I'm asking Jordan Birch to step up, but you need to get creative to help him out. Maybe some double A gap blitzes, maybe a cornerback blitz. We saw Clayton White try that a couple times against Georgia State. Think outside the box. Try to get some pressure on Bennett. I understand he's mobile. He's comfortable throwing on the run, but I'll take a guy throwing on the run any day over comfortable in the pocket. So overall for this game, as I said, this is probably the toughest challenge South Carolina will face all season. But you know what? I am just sick and tired of hearing about how good Georgia is. You know? I mean, this game is at our place. It looks like a beautiful day in Columbia. I don't care that it's at noon. Place is going to be swaying. Place is going to be insane. And you know what, y'all? We're due for one of these. We're due for one of these. A lot of people are counting us out, and there's plenty of reasons to think that. But there's also plenty of reasons to think that we have it in us to pull this out. And the only way to find out is when the ball is kicked, but it's going to be a hell of an atmosphere. It's Georgia's first true road game, and also their first SEC team. So we have to keep the faith. And we have to believe, because that's what we do in Gamecock Nation. Let's ride. Go Cox. Gotta believe. There's many reasons to believe that we can pull this out. We're a good football team. I know that we might not have been lighting it up the first 2 weeks like people may have thought. I know that there was a feeling that we could maybe start the year 2-0. That's not where we're at right now. But the faith remains that we are a good SEC team. I believe in our coaching staff. I believe they will game plan accordingly. And I believe in our home field advantage. We have every reason in the world to believe this. You cannot let it get out of hand. The team has to hang with these guys in that first half. And if you can go into that halftime right there, gotta believe. Give us as good a chance as any. So let's go. Let's go, Cox. Now, I'm going to wrap things up here with my six-pack of picks for any new listeners. Really quick, I pick one game from each Power 5 conference, and then one game from the Group of 5 to make up a six-pack of picks to bet on this Saturday, if that's your thing. So starting with the ACC here, Texas Tech at NC State, give me over 56. That game is at 7 p.m. Big 12, UTSA at Texas, Texas minus 12.5. That game is at 8. I think Texas is going to feel motivated coming off that close loss to Alabama. I think they're going to feel that they can go out there and really smoke this UTSA team. Pac-12, BYU at Oregon, Oregon minus 3.5, games at 3:30. Big 10, very interesting matchup here. Penn State at Auburn, I'm going Penn State minus 3. That game is at 3:30. Auburn, they haven't played anybody. They're playing their first Power 5 opponent in Penn State. Penn State had a tough week 1 matchup that they won. I think they cover. SEC, Mississippi State at LSU, over 53.5, games at 6 p.m., basically banking on Mike Leach to do most of the work there. And Group of 5, give me the game day game, Troy at App State minus 12.5, games at 3:30. Disclaimer here, I don't love the fact that there's so many favorites on my card, but it's a wacky slate. If you look at the slate of games, there wasn't really many teams I was just like, oh, I love that underdog there. So let's see what we get this week. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.